This is side two of the broadcast World Watchers. It's broadcast number 620, October 24th, 1983. Just a few remarks about the Bullion Reserve and the scandal in Los Angeles because it touches close to the bank down in Los Angeles that Johnny Carson had and that cast of characters and John DeLorean. And then I want to do the remaining time on articles taking place in the lawsuit in the LAPD because I don't have enough time to update those for you, and I should be doing 30 minutes a week. When this character was dead, Alan David Saxon, they said it was a suicide. Then they decided they would do more investigation because there was a gun there by his side and a tape recorder conversation. And then they found out that his wife, who was sole heir to his debt of $60 million, I guess, unless he sold it away somewhere, she had ordered the cremation immediately. So by the time they wanted to stop to see if, I guess, if there were bullet holes in him, he was long gone and a lot of ashes. So then they said, well, our only hope is to find out what the tape said. He's going to explain about the company. And Barron's has an article that was sent to me by from San Francisco, October the 10th, 1983, a loyal World Watcher up there who listens and sends articles. It says, awaiting the Saxon tape, the last message of a dead bullion dealer. Here he was taking orders and getting all this money and shipping it $2 million a week over to Brazil. And they couldn't wait to get the tape. Now, it's an interesting thing about these tapes. You would think that the tape would go to the district attorney and be part of public record if there's $60 million gone. This article goes at great length, the one in Barron's, about Mr. Bizzurto. He was the fellow that was involved with the Reagan home, giving this woman $75,000. The scandal when she wanted to invest in Reagan's home, and then he had to leave the bank. And Mr. Bizzurto is not seen much on the news. I haven't seen him. And then down in Brazil, there's a man, would you believe this name, Nabi Zakzak, Z-A-C-Z-A-C. Reminds me of Mr. Absalas, who murdered a woman down at Hunter League at A-B-C-D-E-L-X-Y-Z. That was Mr. Absalas. This one purchased $80 million. Some of it's still floating around. He's down at Rio de Janeiro, and they said, waiting for the tapes, the message of a dead bullion dealer. Then the coroner in Los Angeles gets the tapes, and then the Wall Street Journal says, Bullion Reserve links to failed bank are explored. It's very important of that bank because of links to the Ronald Reagan, the purchase of his home, to Johnny Carson, to the cocaine traffic down in that area. The case is interesting, to say the least. And the Wall Street Journal has a story that the officials refused to disclose the contents of the suicide tape. It was expected the contents would shed light on where $60 million in precious metals are supposedly held. The audio tape is held in Los Angeles, but they haven't said whether or not the coroner's office, whether they'd make it public. There's a tangled pattern of connections beginning to emerge between the Bullion Reserve and the defunct Commercial Bank of California, the Johnny Carson Bank. Mr. Carson had disassociated himself from the bank at the time of liquidation in May, but this was going on long before May. Mr. Bushkin, this is Johnny Carson's attorney, and opened the bank with him, a flamboyant figure in the Beverly Hills clientele, has denied any wrongdoing. Mr. Saxon had made a $1 million deposit in the bank last year, and then it was changed its name to First Credit Bank of California, that's in Blythe, California. Well, the coroner has those tapes, and he won't reveal what's in them, which is really bad because they are, again, covering up two people that are involved with Johnny Carson and Mr. Copelson. That's Arnold Copelson and Michael Miller. So there are a lot of interconnecting links between this Bullion Reserve scandal, and I'll top off to the William Hetrick and Timothy Hoffman and John DeLorean case. It's on the periphery there, but they're hiding the real text of it. The LA Herald has a story, when the greedy and the gullible go for gold, and it's not there. Investigators probe Bullion Reserve mystery. And there's another story in the LA Times, Saxon Brazil connections detailed. But you're not getting much out of that. The vault that he had is emptied, and somewhere Mr. Zakzak or somebody has it, but that mystery kind of goes off the news, like Nugent Hand or Mark Rich. You don't hear much about it. Mr. Edwin Wilson this week surfaced again. He was guilty for trying to hire somebody to kill his wife and some other people, witnesses. Well, that's what he's good at, so they entrapped him at it. He's done it all his life, and they finally entrapped him with one more charge. But you don't hear much about Mr. Turple in this country, or Corkula, Turple's oversees that George Corkle is in this country, and it's hard to keep track of the missing billions that are floating around and the missing agents, and when we'll hear from them again. Now, to the Los Angeles Police Department, I have four stories here that are important. I have about 40 of them, but they don't go over the wire services, and one is to the LA Times alone. And it's written by Zed Yaroslavsky, Yaroslavsky. Zev Yaroslavsky from the LA City Council. And he wrote an article or an essay for the Los Angeles Times about Western Goals, John Reese's organization now that Larry McDonald is dead, and Roy Cohn's and Edward Teller and Admiral Moore. Western Goals and the Los Angeles Police Department, and how did the LAPD get out of hand to delivering this stuff to them, and what is going on? And this is what he wrote in the newspaper. He said the closed door Los Angeles City Council meeting ended. The broadening Los Angeles Police Department intelligence scandal was the only item on the agenda. The council had been briefed about the lawsuit against the Los Angeles City and their illegal spying unit. The council had adjourned when a conservative member of the council, a delegate, who was asked me, he says, about names in the file. He thought that it was only liberals that get targeted, not conservatives, and that he found out the conservatives may be the target of the LAPD investigations. This member, who early in the summer publicly argued that only those who had something to hide would be concerned about a legal counsel or about what is going on with the police keeping records of you, only people who have something to hide would be concerned, all of a sudden asked Mr. Yaroslavsky, in your review of the files, have you come across anything with my name on it? This is the staunch conservative, just as Nelson Rockefeller would find out that Ronald Reagan was spying on him, which he was. But this arch conservative says, by any chance did you find my name? Because he's done all the right things all his life. And this city councilman says, if a picture is worth 1,000 words, this scene is worth volumes. Intelligence abuse cuts across all political and more apparent every philosophical line. It becomes obvious that the Los Angeles Police intelligence units were used not for law enforcement purposes. The Los Angeles Police were not used for law. They were used to advance the political agenda and enhance the political clout of the chief of police or whoever saw the pictures. A conservative politician could be targeted as easily as a liberal. The department could use whatever information was obtained to keep its friends in tow and make its adversaries, potential adversaries, behave like friends. That's how you get the Tip O'Neills to lie down, doggy. You get some nice pictures, and then your adversaries behave like friends. He doesn't mention him, but I added that. He goes on, some of the information compiled by Detective J. Paul, whose home became the repository for 200 boxes of intelligence files. Remember when it was 50 and 60 and then 100, now it's 200. These were documented, the files at J. Paul's house showed the relationship of family, financial data, of top city officials, detailed biographical information, and in some cases, details about their spouses, who allegedly weren't really into the political thing anyway. They kept the record on the spouses and the family. As the scandal unfolded, a high-ranking department official explained to me that the LAPD was interested in finding out what the policymakers have and what kind of juice they have on the mayor, the city council, the business community, the press, the power centers in L.A. That is apparently motivated to do a backgrounder, supposedly, on Planning Commission President Dan Garcia, if he were named on the police commission. But what they did was that they kept information about various people and all their different activities. So he said items that were in their possession were every LA Times article that Mr. Yaroslavsky had written on his political fundraising activities, the names of contributors to his campaign. It was no coincidence that last summer's debate on freedom of information with my various supporters and so forth, was blocked by the police department. The ordinance did not want to be in a position of releasing this information. Another example was the stunning sworn testimony of Detective Michael J. Rothmiller of the Organized Crime Intelligence Division, where he was ordered to investigate the sexual preferences and extramarital relationships of the top city officials. Allegedly, it was for only one purpose, to twist these officials for LAPD aims, to go along with their methods of what they do. If they use a chokehold, it's not murder. It's called Tay-Sachs disease. If they gun a baby down a fetus and she dies, they call that self-defense. But the police department has been using these votes, these blackmailing votes, so that they're not reprimanded or charged with murder, and they go on to the next killing and they get off free because the city council and various political officials are blackmailed with these pictures. This article says every bureaucrat was investigated from time to time, and the police department made their business to investigate the political feelings of the city attorney, the deputy attorney, and intimidating background investigations cause weaker souls to acquiesce to departmental wishes. It's a rare individual who will stand up to this sort of pressure and intimidation, especially when that person has much to lose. And he goes on to say that the officers lacked totally what's appropriate in today's standards, that their intelligence material was inadequately analyzed, it was improperly secured, that the city was lazy, there was no civilian or oversight committee. Recently, the city council ignored the whole issue and failed to exercise their prerogative and assert control over the intelligence division. A major overhaul of intelligence gathering is in order. Now, the reason this is so important, and I have another article here about Western goals, is that they do this in every major city of the United States, if not every city over a certain population. It's not just happening in one city. It happened. There was a lawsuit going on with police abuse, and they found out the data was going to Mr. Edward Teller and Admiral Moore and Western Goals. But the point is that the scandal is that it's going into every major city and every computer and off to the Galen Group, even though Galen's dead. There's still spies in Germany and Mr. Wigner and Mr. Milliken from J. Peter Grace and the who's who of conservatism on Western Goals. And Mr. Yaroslavsky said that there should be better guidelines, that they should make violations of this kind of behavior, and that they shouldn't be operating unless somebody's broken the law. But then he says the basic tenet of our democracy, that we the people form the government and furnish and limit its power, must be restored in our city and reaffirmed in our society. The basic tenet, in other words, you cannot run the country by blackmail. That's what the essay is about. And he says if there's a lesson to be learned from this experience, it is that unchecked government has an insatiable appetite to increase its power at the expense of our liberties, an insatiable appetite to increase its power. Power being what you know on somebody, who they sleep with, where they go on their vacation, and what they do, and your sexual preferences, you see, in the PD, and has more than, and your medical bills and your medical files are also in their possession. Just because it's government, he said, just because it's government action doesn't mean it's right. And just because someone takes apart government policy and doesn't like it, that doesn't make him or her a criminal. If you don't like the Los Angeles Police Department, then they keep a file on you. And if you object to their brutality, a file is started on you as if you were the criminal. And he's saying that doesn't necessarily make you the criminal. Now, there was a story in the San Jose Mercury News that was sent to me. I take the San Jose Mercury. I don't get the regular news. And it's from the Knight Rider Service, watching a right-wing watchdog. And this is about Western Goals having information on Governor Brown, Mayor Atlanta Mayor Andrew Young, Eldridge Cleaver, Ku Klux Klan, Jane Fonda. And it goes on and on. Chicago Mayor Harold Washington, there was just a $1 million contract out to kill him. And George McGovern, remember the scandals of McGovern at the time of Watergate? And he hushed up and dropped the whole case, actually, against the Republicans for break into the offices because he was so blackmailed. This article says, based in Virginia, includes offices in New York, Philadelphia, and Los Angeles, and other cities founded by Larry McDonald, the president of the Birch Society in Washington, D.C., until he died, and people on the board, known Nazis, and politically far, far right on the board of Western Goals, and they're receiving this information about your personal lives. And as I say, this isn't the Los Angeles problem. This goes into every city. Now, one of the members from the crime division got up to testify and repeat his charges that he did 17 different operations against public officials on their sex, illegal spying. He worked for the PDID, that's the police department, intelligence division, and then he switched to the crime division, organized crime intelligence division. And he explained to the grand jury what he was doing for another agency, that the police department isn't limited to this criminal conspiracy section. There's a CII, there's a PDID. they have a whole alphabet of letters, so if you stop one, they can go on to the next. But the important thing is that this fellow was testifying and then was let off from the police department. Detective Michael J. Rothmiller about his spying and what he was doing for the police department. Then the next day, the law office of Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher, that's the law firm that represents Ronald Reagan. It's a law firm that the Attorney General, William French Smith, comes from. They're representing the police that are doing the illegal spying and the bedroom spying. You see, that's the way the Attorney General or Paul Axel get votes for their candidate, Ronald Reagan. Plenty of girly shows. Maybe the tables be turned on him this year. If Larry Flynt has the pictures of Ronald Reagan, maybe we'll say, okay, it's only fair. Turn around is fair play. And if you want to use those girly pictures, get them out on the table because they exist. Well, the LAPD uses this technique, and the law office of Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher didn't want a witness, a particular squealer from the organized crime division, like Mr. Rothmiller, telling him what is going on. So the LA Times had a story, court asked to stop new spy probe. And the city of Los Angeles was asked by Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher, that law firm, to please stop a lot of the stories of illegal spying of the police department because they didn't want this going on anymore. They don't want the stories out in the public. And the attorney for Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher, this is the Reagan Law Office, had a quotation in the LA Times. This is what it said. The ACLU is on a fishing expedition that is destined to become a cruise around the world for information on legitimate intelligence operations. Fred Bennett, whose firm of Gibson, Dunn & Crutcher, asked that they stop investigating the crime division and start the trial November 14th to keep the floodgates closed and keep the ACLU from obtaining testimony and documents about any department except the PDID. Well, the PDID move their offices and move their call letters, and then they go on doing what they've been doing and have all these rare films to look at and edit and to blackmail. But I thought that was a good quotation. They have a fishing expedition that's destined to be cruise around the world. I wish it would be. I think it's time for a little more Watergate stuff to come out. It looks like that's what is going to happen because that never really was cleared up. So the fishing expedition could be the cruise around the world, and they've asked them to stop and keep the floodgates closed. They're not making any bones about what's involved here. They come out and say, we've got to keep it closed. There's another story in the LA Times. Police spy unit hid data. And this was important because Thomas Scheidecker, S-C-H-E-I-D-E-C-K-E-R, who along with J. Paul had data, took it outside his home. He didn't have it in the garage with the Western Gold's material. Not that he didn't want it. He just had it at his home as a relaying station. And he was told by Robert Loomis, that was the guy in charge of removing the material, move your stuff, put it out. They put it in the glove compartment of cars. They put it in attaché cases. They put it into bags. They hid it into briefcases. They were stuffing their car. The police were coming to check the guidelines that were imposed in 1976, and they had broken the guidelines by keeping the snooping stuff. So Loomis ran out of town. He left L.A. and said, I'm going to move to Nevada. And his name is familiar as being involved with the break-in at the Romaine headquarters of Howard Hughes. I have to check that out. Loomis is retired and living in Nevada. He's not available for comment. It seems to me that if you commit a crime, you just go back to the scene of the crime and don't run to the next state. But they were told, Mr. Scheidecker was not asked why Mr. Loomis wanted the material out. He took it out and was to get away so nobody could see what there was and what they kept records of, because the information might include everything from a person's political affiliations to his latest lover, and they wanted that out of the way. Mr. Scheidecker says that after they discovered that he had 7 boxes of sensitive intelligence documents, originally I thought Scheidecker had 100, but maybe they're stuffed into 7 bigger ones. He had 7 boxes that were discovered in his residence. In his deposition, in his court deposition, Scheidecker said he was unaware that he had the files at home until they were seized by the Internal Revenue. Do you believe that? Open files and diaries of the President of the United States talking and into the Western Gold's machine or the L.A. Police Department. Anything that Haig and Butterfield have can go into those machines. Anything from the House on American Activities, any reel from any bedroom, any hotel room can go right from the White House down to the whorehouses. It's not that there's any difference. I shouldn't say down. They're all the same. But can you imagine that this man has this stuff in his home when he's caught with it, and he says, well, you found it. I didn't know it was here until today. And he was ordered to put it there by a man who doesn't have to any accountability but leaves and goes to Nevada. they're trying every trick to limit the case, to leave the state, to move the files out so that they won't be caught with the papers of illegal spying that go back to when Ronald Reagan was governor of California. Now, one of the most disgusting articles was about the anti-terrorist unit. When the police department, the PDID, was broken up, they just changed the name and called it the Anti-Terrorist Union, because if one isn't good, you just use the same people's same names, like Mark Rich is Mark Rich Limited or Arrington or whatever. They changed the names to the terrorist unit, but one of the men involved with ordering the destruction of paper and not cooperating with the investigators is now one of the top assigned to the anti-terrorist division in charge of the Olympic security. And the LA Times says the lieutenant in the Los Angeles Police Department's new anti-terrorist division ordered that certain intelligence materials be concealed from the police commission that he served. Well, he served as a supervisor in the department's Police Disorder Intelligence Division, the PDID. He was a supervisor in the police department, and when they came and wanted to supervise what was in the files, he ordered that the intelligence material be removed. Elmer Schiller and nine PDID officers hid documents before the 1972 audit by the police commission, and the police knew something was funny. Now, what happened was that Mr. Schiller, who ordered this, said he didn't want the police officers to be seen with this material or the investigators to have it. Then it goes on to say that Lieutenant Scheidecker, who first worked with the PDID command structure, is now assigned to the anti-terrorist division at the minimum. Mr. Hoffman of the Civil Liberties Union said, "We're uncomfortable about the fact that a lieutenant in PDID is now a leading officer in the new division that may have directed the subordinates to circumvent civilian control." And the ACLU lawyer, Mr. Hoffman, said that the newly formed anti-terrorist division is in many ways merely a publicity stunt designed to diffuse adverse publicity rather than a needed change in policy. And when he asked Commander William Booth why this Mr. Schiller was still in charge, if he was caught with material that was supposed to be destroyed, if he was secreting away, how come he still now got a big job with the Olympic Games, the anti-terrorist group? And William Booth, the commander, gave this answer. He said, "The members of the new division were carefully selected after thorough investigation of their background, abilities, and integrity." That means that this Mr. Schiller came out. He came at the time of Larry McDonald's forming Western Goals in 1979, when Western Goals was formed by the Pentagon and the CIA in 1979 with the Birch Society. Then this man goes to the police department and gets on PDID, and within a year, the Los Angeles police files are going into Western Goals, which is one of the reasons it probably was set up. So the article in the LA Times tells about one of the fellows who was hiding material that was supposed to be destroyed. I guess they could get those great archives of Western Goals, and that he's being defended as being hand-selected, I guess, which means the CIA or a Defense Department job that he has, because they said, "We've gone into his background and his ability and his integrity." Well, he has absolute ability to steal papers that were ordered destroyed. He has the integrity of a rat, because he's going to use it to frame people on their personal life and blackmail them. So he is still with the anti-terrorist unit, and nobody's making too much of a fuss in L.A. I don't see editorials to get him out before the Olympic Games come on. There's a new book out, or an old book. I don't have it. A World Watcher sent me the title of, and if you find it, let me know what it is, and I'll pay you and send it to me. It's called The Killing of Karen Silkwood by Richard Rashke, R-A-S-H-K-E. And it mentions Larry McDonald in there, and Georgia Power and Light Company and his connections to it. That's John Reese. And they did investigative work for the utility companies on what was supposed to be nuclear safety while the companies have been polluting everywhere and then murdering the people that expose the pollution and the danger. All of you know who Karen Silkwood is, or I hope you do. If you don't, you can call me next week and I'll tell you who Karen Silkwood is. She was carrying information in the New York Times about pollution and radiation, illegal harming of people in Oklahoma. And Larry McDonald's name is in that book. Well, the anti-terrorist unit is something that has to be watched. There's another story in the LA Times, September 29th, police spy unit hid its work as part of its policy. Now, the one reason I think they hid it is that people like Donald DeFries and Louis Tack would work for the LA Police Department. And when you have counterintelligence and terrorist squad, somebody that's going to kidnap Patricia Hearst's daughter, and Patricia Hearst hired and had some of these men working for her at the time that Ronald Reagan was governor. Jerry Ducote and John Reese were doing work for her, and Patty Hearst was kidnapped. When you have those kinds of clients and they're involved with these sleazy characters, and the story gets to break open, it's pretty interesting. But there's one story, police spy unit hid their work, suggests that the LAPD division engaged in conscious effort to engineer what was a massive cover-up, which they said was small. They said if everybody would come down and just look at a few papers, it would all be cleared. In a closed-door presentation, attorney Daniel Garcia told council members that Detective J. Paul, a central figure in the police scandal, in the spying scandal, may have been only one player in their systematic division-wide attempt to avoid compliance with police commission guidelines and to thwart civilian oversight, sources familiar with the briefing said. The statements by Garcia, hired by the city to review the police buying, said that there's been massive cover-up by all different branches of the agency. It isn't just one police department or one agency. And because this one police department in L.A. is identified with Western goals, as I said, doesn't mean that the others aren't all over the country. They're trying to do a review of the papers. There's a wide investigation of the documents. But as of this date, they're destroying a lot and not letting people know what was in their car, not calling Mr. Loomis back, not firing the people that were involved, and trying to disrupt and hurry the case now before too much comes out. They don't want to get into the organized crime unit because then they'll find probably a little more about drug provocateurs and the Tackwood types, and they're trying every which way, every technique, to stop the stolen records from being revealed what's on them. Another story in the LA Times, September 30th, data yielded in spy case. Group files may contain stolen records. The director of Western Goals, the anti-communist Western Goals, told the grand jury a box filled with subpoenaed computer disks and printouts believed by the authorities contained pilfered Los Angeles police intelligence. Now, Linda Gould, G-U-E-L-L, is the head of Western Goals. Larry McDonald is dead. Just before he could testify, she's invoked her Fifth Amendment right, and she has released a few documents in return for security. She wasn't going to do it, but there was an article in the newspaper that suggested, a lot of them suggested, that Linda Gould be not given immunity and that she tell what's going on so that people really understand the depth of this. And J. Paul, as I say, was given immunity this week. The Civil Liberties Union wanted him to have immunity so that he would tell how deep this goes into Western Goals and what's going on there and be able to figure this out. But the officers, according to another article in the L.A. Herald and Examiner, were ordering them, destroy your papers, burn them, get rid of them, just like Watergate. They were deep-sixing the papers and telling L. Patrick Gray, the acting director of the FBI, to get rid of papers that were valuable to exposing what was going on at the time of Watergate. So we have a mini Watergate down in Los Angeles. They're referring to it as a Watergate. It involved the 8 years when Ronald Reagan was the governor of California. There was a lot of spying. The spying was ordered to be halted. It wasn't halted. And this is something that will be opening up soon, the trial. They're going to limit it just to one section of the police department when a lot of the sections are involved. They're giving immunity to people who really should be prosecuted. They're scared to death, like they say. They don't want a huge cruise around the world or a opening up of those scandals there. So we'll follow this in the weeks to come. It'll be interesting, and it's very, very important to all of our freedoms, because if they can't stop this, they certainly can't stop it in any other police department in the United States. Well, that's it now. Our time is up. I see the clock is just on the hour. This is Mae Brussel, and it is KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California, and I'll be back with you next week.
The views expressed by Mae Brussel during World Watchers are those of the commentator and do not reflect the opinions of KAZU, its board of directors, or staff.
I believe that everybody's blue. These blues here I'm playing is for the railroad men that's got a family on both ends. Where they make